Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
The views and opinion expressed in this podcast are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entity or organizations.
You are listening to the podcast, Tea and Talk, presented to inform, educate, inspire, and encourage meaningful conversations on Bahamian arts and culture. My name is Robert Bain, dancer, teacher, choreographer, and someone who believes in the preservation of all things Bahamian. I am sitting down with persons of like mind to discuss the Bahamian perspective on the arts and the Bahamian way. Now, let's welcome our guests.
Okay, welcome back to Tea and Talk. My name is Robert Bain, and this podcast is emanating from Nassau, Bahamas, one of the islands of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Yeah, we boast of 700 of them. Yeah, 30 of them are inhabited, and 16, well, the main islands of the Bahamas. This program was established for one reason, and one reason only. Well, I guess there are many reasons why we were established, but mainly for the artists themselves, so that the artists can have a platform to express themselves. They can talk about the things that impede their progress, or they can just talk about the things that make them happy. We're here to inform, here to educate and entertain, and that's what we do. Today, I want to continue with my discussion with Sean Toussaint, and I'm not going to talk anymore. I'm just going to go right to the podcast, go to the second part of this podcast with Sean Toussaint. Tell us about the Denmark, the Danish experience with to the arts and to society, how they function culturally. What is it that we, tell me about the similarities and differences.
Well, perhaps it would be best for me to start with the differences, because I think the differences are many. And in being able to establish the differences, perhaps we would be able to see or gain insight into what we might have been able to do or we might be able to do in the future.
Right.
Because in Denmark, it's pretty much, what can I say? In the Bahamas, you have a love for plaiting the maple, knocking the conch style, beating the drums in a certain way, and so on and so forth. In Denmark, they have the same thing in their culture, except that it is preserved in a way that it's unadulterated, because Denmark is a country that is very national-minded. Some might say overly nationalistic. I don't know if I would go to that extent. But in any event, they make sure that the preservation of Danish culture is at the foremost.
Yes.
in their minds. Mm-hmm. So whatever is done in terms of culture is done strictly from the sense that, for example, if I wanted to celebrate the Bahamian independence by waving my flag, it's not possible in Denmark. You can't wave another country's flag. You can. There are exceptions, like for instance, with the war in Ukraine, they have allowed The flying of the Ukrainian flag on some government buildings on certain days. However, the central focus is Danish culture. And they have institutions like, for example, if we were to talk about ballet, they have the Royal Danish Ballet, mm-hmm. which has been an institution going for hundreds of years. The preservation of the choreography from Bournonville and all of the things that the pieces that the ballet performed, they go on and on and on. And other aspects of Danish culture in relation to the popular folk artists and songs, for them that is preeminent, and anything else from outside that is secondary. Mm-hmm. So their focus is strictly on that. Their focus is on making it institutionalizing culture so that they can have something to give to the next generation. For example, they have museums that probably opened their doors in the 17th or 18th century with cultural artifacts. And I think that is what in the Bahamas is missing. We have a lack of continuity. It's not like we haven't had the talent. We know Davis Cumberbatch, she produced greats in terms of in terms of music. And we know that we've had dancers, we've had Mr. Farrington, we've had you, Mr. Carroll, and Mr. Wright, many others. Mm-hmm. We've had influx from the Caribbean with, what's her name, Noella Chutkan. We've mm-hmm. had Shirley Hall Bass coming from the United States. So we've had the talent. I think we haven't been good enough at... We have been... After we gained our independence, or perhaps a number of years before, we have just been so excited about gaining our independence that we have not used enough time to reflect on what type of development we're going through and how we can use that development to foster education of the basic things that we all agree that we hold very, very dearly, which is, among other things, our culture. So I think time went by really quickly, and because in Denmark, as time is going along, and this is the difference, as time is going along, everything is structured, institutionalized. They record it. This is kept. 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 I mean, just in terms of culture. Mm-hmm. We haven't been doing that. We have been enjoying. We've had Peanuts Taylor. We've all the great Freddie Munnings Jr. We've had all the greats. We were so caught up, in my opinion, in enjoying the moment. But how do we get to teach what Peanuts can on the drum and just institutionalize it so that they're doing that in Lusrot, they're doing that in Exuma, they're doing that here, they're doing that here, and that's what they're doing in Denmark. Every part of Denmark, if there's anything to do with Danish culture, that is being turned over and preserved and given to the other in an institutionalized way, not just thinking, oh, it's wonderful to enjoy this new music, Mama Le Le Le, or Exuma, Diobe Man, the great
Tony McKay.
Yes, Tony McKay, the great music. Yes, it's good to enjoy it, but we also have to find a way. How can we reproduce that? How is it possible to make sure that every Bahamian knows how to tap into the source so that we could continue to produce that type of thing?
Right.
And because we've not been reflective. Introspection, I think.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, Sean, let me ask you, the difference, the young people, are the young people in Denmark inundated with... I guess all young people around the world are inundated with social media. But to which point?
It's very, very extreme. When I go around in the metro, in the trains in Denmark, or if I'm just walking, going into the food store, or just walking on the pavement in general, it's very frustrating to see, for example, it could be young people or it could be middle-aged people or whatever, pushing a carriage and their main focus is on their telephone.
The question I want to ask you, is it to a point where it waters down the culture? Is that
no, not at all.
Not at all.
Because successive governments in Denmark have ensured that the relationship between culture, development, and people is intact, because everything, like I said, they give the Danish television, they give a certain amount of monies to the Danish television to produce Danish generated
programs.
Mm-hmm. They give a certain amount of money to the museums to foster Danish artists or whatever. They give a certain amount of money to the Music Academy to make sure that they are producing Danish. It's all Danish, straight through and through, and it's institutionalized. It's not just something haphazardly popping up, like some artist popping up here, Sweet Emily, or this one or that one, and then we are enjoying it. No, once we understand that that's something that is a value to the Danish society, then they find a way to make sure that that is something that will be with the people.
Well, I think in terms of I think it's a little lopsided. Our culture is lopsided because that aspect of which you're talking, sports is probably the only one that actually benefits from that, having with that particular attitude, not the arts.
I totally agree. If only we paid as much attention to culture as we did with sports, then we wouldn't have a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah? It just seems that culture is less prioritized because we feel that what we're doing, we're knocking the conch style, that's enough, beating of the drums. But how do we take what Mr. Farrington, that incredible system that he gave us, how do we take that into knocking the conch style and make that better? How do we take that into plaiting the maypole and make that better?
Right. So we don't, and the problem too, Sean, it's not, in some instance, it's really not the government or any institution. In some cases, it's the persons themselves, the administrators of the art itself. And I tend to believe sometimes that some of the artists here really don't care about the arts like that. You know, they care about it in just one instant. Like I say, the art possess graded outcome. Here at this school, at Dance Bahamas, we have a system. You talk about, but the system, unfortunately, the system that Mr. Farrington created should still be alive today. It should, every school in this country should be a party to that information that Mr. Farrington have, no matter how they felt about him. We have a system here at Dance Bahamas, and fortunately for me, I have a company that actually, that we work at this every day, and we're constantly saying stuff like, we need to teach this to everybody else so that everybody else can do it. What it does, it gives us structure. And what Mr. Farrington was trying to do is bring some structure, and not structure just to the Civic Ballet, but structure to dance in the country as a whole. And so we're trying to do the same thing here at Dance Bahamas and the National Dance Company as a whole. But now, how do we get convinced, you know, the persons out there to want to do it? That is always a question. It's to a point of frustration. It's sometimes is at a point of saying, you know something, to hell with this, whatever backup goes, you know, because people are not really interested. I don't think people are interested. And then the next thing, and it's my final point with this, is that people, I think people are Bahamians are very distrusting of each other, and I think we need to go past that. And I think we need to celebrate one another instead of sitting back and criticizing. Because if somebody does something down the road, another school there, we need to support that school. We need to support each other. That's how it happens. And no matter how you feel about that person, we need to be sensible about it. The lawyers do it. The doctors do it. Architects do it. People of profession, people with serious people, people who are who are vested in their disciplines, they do it. They get along, even though they might have opinion differences. They get along, you know. So I just wanted to say that, and I'm just speaking the truth. And like I say at the end of this podcast, it's the whole thing is to make you smarter and give you a better understanding. And sometimes you might be getting our opinions on it, but that's what this podcast is about, because all of us have opinions. And I'm just delighted to have Sean in today, who basically have lived in lots of places, you know, around the world. I mean, lived. And you've lived in also in Spain.
Yes.
You are a citizen of Spain at some point?
No, I didn't gain citizenship.
Oh, you didn't gain citizenship.
Yeah, I had the possibility, but I chose to go to Denmark.
Denmark, mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, but you have, this is a Bahamian that I'm very, very proud of on all levels, who decided to do something with itself. And he is no different than anybody else. He can tell you his history. He didn't come from a place of lights. He came from a humble, very humble beginning. And because he had a focus, because he explored some things, he wanted to like I always tell my students, show me the possibilities of something. Well, he wanted to experience the possibilities of his life, and he's now where he is because he have done exactly that, and he's still working at it, you know. So I'm very proud of him in that regard. And Sean comes home when he does. He comes here at the studio, and sometimes my students have the opportunity of having him for a second or two where he makes a correction. And when he comes into the studio, I just move to the side and allow him to make the correction, and the kids benefit from it. And that's the way it should be. Sean, you know, this is very interesting, very interesting. But tell us a bit more about Denmark in terms of the similarities. I'm still interested in the similarities and differences of both cultures.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Denmark, just like the Bahamas, actually, because the Bahamas is said to be the richest country in the Caribbean. Mm. Denmark is one of the richest countries in the world. And in terms of investing in the people, there is a huge difference. I wouldn't say that we don't invest in our people in the Bahamas, because we have been left with a system we were under British rule, that basically just carried along even though we gained our independence. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think it behooves us to see that we should have, and I use this word again, we should have reflected a little bit more on how this old system of colonialism would have affected us independence.
Yes.
We were too busy enjoying the fruits of liberty, mm-hmm. As opposed to, I think if we reflected more and were a little bit more reserved, we might have had enough energy to be able to ascertain where we needed to be a little better.
Sure.
Because we were too busy enjoying. I can tell you, growing up in the Bahamas, I wouldn't sacrifice that paradise for nothing. I remember when they had Jumbe Village, that was Edmund Moxie, and mm. they had those floats that passed East Street where I was born, basically, between Coconut Grove and I can't remember the street. But anyway, and they would parade on to the Jumbe village. And it was simply amazing. And then you had Gumbe summer every summer. All these activities, cultural activities. You had the National Arts Festival, of which I was a part, not dancing. I participated when I went to school, from I was about 8 or so in the choir, in Yellow Elder Choir in the National Arts Festival. I did that for at least until I graduated, actually, until the fifth grade, because I skipped the sixth grade to go on to the seventh because I started school when I was 6 instead of 5. So I got an introduction to these cultural events. But what am I saying? I maintain that it's not like we didn't invest because we did, but we didn't use enough time for reflection. But the difference with Denmark in terms of investing economic fashion, they use their wealth to infuse the cultural institutions with the monies and the funds that are necessary in order to have them flourish.
Right.
And it appears to me that we've also invested, but through successive governments, we've not had an idea of a level of continuity that would serve to further all of the things that we have invested in.
Right.
In the future. And that was the problem. We've invested. I remember under the Pindling government, all of those things, the Kara Festa, all of the initiatives that were under the Pindling, there were actually some things that were interesting at that time, the Kara Festa and all kinds of other things. But but it was just a moment to celebrate instead of real investment, which right. means... You have dancers on the stage right now. Who are going to replace them when they're not capable anymore,
right.
owing to old age or whatever? And those are the type of things that we, whereas in Denmark, any institution, you got the kids learning from, I don't know, 5 or something, how to play all of the different instruments. I'm sure we're doing that now. I think we must have a national orchestra of some sort.
Well, we do have an orchestra, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But all during this time of growing up, life was a celebration and was a fabulous celebration. Like I said, I would not trade being born in the Bahamas for anywhere because it was really it was like I was growing up in the golden age, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Interesting enough, one of my guests on one of the podcasts were talking about, and I'd ask about the arts again, about the rejection of the arts, and I thought it was so interesting. And she said that the young people, the reason we're having problems today with the arts is because the younger people are decolonizing themselves. Never thought of it, right?
Yeah, but is it inadvertently or is it intentionally?
I think it's intentional
mm-hmm.
To a point. I think persons, again, I use the example of dancers going to Bay Street with tights, but to ask them to put tights on to go on stage, that's a different thing. They're not going to do that because they are aware. There are so many things that they have become aware of. Some of them have become aware of the history. Social media has really played a large part in disseminating information. Some of the information is sometimes not correct, but it has played a part in it, and I think the decolonizing part of it has happened because of, in some instance, being aware. So I don't think it just, people rejecting it, people are learning more. Somebody mentioned about, they always talk about slavery, but those black bodies that they brought from Africa, they had a life before they were slaves. So stop talking about slavery. Let's talk about who they were mm-hmm. before they were placed on a ship, when they were forced on a ship to come to places in the Caribbean and mm-hmm. United States or wherever, right? So they had a life before. And so we always just talk about that. So that being, persons being aware of that, they're more aware of that, and they kind of think in that way now. This generation of kids, they think in that way. They're not as gullible as we were. We talk about history sometimes where persons write history about this country that's not accurate. But because of, I guess, our temperament, and I would use the word laziness, we accept it, and it becomes, become the thing that we judge ourselves by, or we think that we are, and we're not. So we find that. And I said, too, in the last podcast, one of the things I would like to see happen in our country is that Bahamians start to write our history, because it'll be sad in a couple of years. Like you talked about the dancers, what happens when the dancers leave the stage? Well, we don't have many of them there. You look at TV and anything that happens in this country, you see the same dancers all the time. Eventually, if nothing is done, those dancers are going to cease to exist. We have no dancers here. We're not developing any dancers. We're not developing no more Sean Toussaint, Patrick Johnsons, Tanya McClure. We're not developing them. They're out there, but we, for some reason, we have an issue. There is a problem, and there's a problem with reliability. They lack the discipline that you guys had. When there was a show at Le Cabaret Theater, or there was a show at Crystal Palace back in the day, or any theater, Playboy at the time, the dancers showed up to work, and I've heard stories. So it was a job like any other job. That's the way it was, and so we appreciated the fact. And a lot of people got their education using their gifts. And so I always tell students, use your gifts. The gifts will make way for it. It sets on the Bible too. Your gifts gonna make a way for you. But you were about to tell me something about the. We're talking about this slave.
Yes, actually, I have a connection with this. You mentioned something about the young people, a shift in their idea of who they are, their identity. I guess it made me reflect on Bob Marley's Emancipate Yourself from Mental Slavery, because mm-hmm. that's something that I had to really think about going to Europe. Mm-hmm. That's another story. That's another podcast, because actually, when you go to Europe, you think that I went there with the impression that they were so civilized and mm-hmm. that there was so much to learn in that respect. There was a lot to learn, I guarantee you. But in terms of level of civilization, that wasn't one of them. Because okay. we have to understand that we, as a people, were brought through the Middle Passage over here yep. by the British. And we were brought here and we were taught that we were nobodies and that we should be somebody, because the civilization they represented was something that they wanted us to look up to and aspire to be. And we believed it. Mm-hmm. It happened very peacefully, that relationship between slave and master, that was peaceful here in the Caribbean, more or less, much more than in the United States, as we all know. Yeah. But what I wanted to say, when I got to Europe, I discovered that the British actually taught us something, because my level of civilization could match theirs, mm-hmm. or was even higher in some instances.
Yes.
So this idea, even though I had a situation in my childhood where my grandparents, they were indentured laborers actually in Florida. They were indentured laborers in Florida. They actually worked on something called the Project, where they picked oranges and stuff like that. So I had a very humble upbringing. And I can see, like, basically from some of the things people write on social media, that I can see that shift that you were talking about, shift in mentality, because I think, did I grow up in a different Bahamas than they did? Or is it because I had those grandparents that were so humble and meek, yeah, that went through those slave-like job situations where they were basically bound to the place that they were working for and they had a contract, mm-hmm, literally? I imagine that I was a bit naive when I was growing up, when I saw Lyndon Pindling, and I idealized him as a great Bahamian leader, even when things came up about the connection to the Normandy or whatever and all that. I still didn't think less of him. Mm-hmm. And all those things that I experienced as a child, growing up and seeing Edmund Moxie on those floats floating on to Jumbe Village, and the picturesque nature of the 66 steps. My grandmother, every time she went to the hospital, she would take me along with her, and we would go, and then you would meet a whole community there, horses and carriages, the trees in bloom, people selling this and that and this and that. It was simply something spectacular. And then I see the way that people talk about Pindling on social media and other politicians who I hold in respect, like A.D. Hanna and all these people. I think, was I really naive? But actually, I don't think I was. Mm-hmm. I assume that, in my opinion, we simply had a different level of respect. Perhaps it was more automatic than the kids now, but or perhaps they're asking more questions. But I still think that there seems to be a huge generation gap because they seem to fail to see the good that these people did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even though they were caught up, like everybody else, in something obscure. Mm-hmm. Lyndon Oscar Pindling was it was a great man.
He was a great man.
Yeah, and I can't understand. I applaud the fact that they are searching for some type of freedom that we didn't have. Maybe they want to come away from they want to be free of the naivety that we experienced, because I was totally naive, obviously. But at the same time, you do a disservice to your country if you don't try to investigate and just listen to what social media says, because we know that not everything, you can't ingest everything on social media. You do a disservice to your country if you don't try to investigate, is there any truth to the fact that the man did something great? And he did. Mm-hmm. I'm a product of it. Mm-hmm. I'm a product of his idea of what how he invested in Bahamian culture.
What Bahamians can achieve.
Yeah. Yeah. The National Dance School. Mm-hmm. Where would I be with all those performances that we did everywhere? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing I always say about Elo Pindling, great man. Loved him dearly, loved what he did for us. He taught Bahamians, who they were, or gave us a picture of who they were. Bahamians get thumped their chests to say, I am Bahamian, And I always say that he had his purpose. He did what he was supposed to do, and he did an awesome job. And I hold him in the highest regard. Sean, time is running out on us, but I want, this has been really interesting, and I think we're going to do our next podcast from Denmark.
Certainly.
All right? Yeah. But what would you like, in wrapping up, what would you want to say to your people out there about anything, about the culture, about the arts, about themselves, about tourism, about what would you want to say to your people?
Well, I'd just like to leave my Bahamian brothers and sisters with this. I'm living in another country, and I see through my only connection sometimes is with the Bahamian people through social media.
And Tea and Talk, right?
Yes, and Tea and Talk, of course, yes. But I must say it pains me to see that it seems like there's been a disruption in our contact with our with the people that created the Bahamas. I mean, it seems like the young people today, they have no idea of what contribution these people have made. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how culture is life. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how these figures, great men and women, like effigies in their lives, and not like living figures still, just like it is in Denmark. Yeah. You know, all of the people that contributed to Danish society, they feed you with that daily.
Yes.
In some way or the other, either directly or indirectly, by some Danish artists reviving some of their words in a new fashion.
Yes.
And that's what pains me. It seems like we are disconnected from our past in such a way that we're going around walking blind. We really don't know who we are. We don't associate with Africa in a sense, in the way that African Americans do. We're cut off from the British, and I must say that with Brexit, I felt myself even more cut off from being a British, because actually, when I was born a British citizen, mm-hmm. that became a Bahamian in 1973. But it seems like there is a problem with our identity. We don't know who we are. And it's been a problem from time immemorial, in the sense that we've been enjoying being Bahamian. So if you're in the process of enjoying being Bahamian, that means you don't have any time for reflecting. Mm. You have to reflect to know who you are. If you don't look deep within as a people, you don't know who you are.
Yeah.
You can't be going, you can be going along in time, and people say live in the moment, and that's fine if you know who you are. Mm-hmm. But if you're constantly living in the moment from the time that we were born as a nation, you will never know who you are, because you never thought about it.
Yeah.
And that's what I hope that our people would begin to reflect and think, how can I use this? How can I know more about this? How can I connect this with that? To be able to know where we're going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. It's important that if we're going to move forward, we have to familiarize ourselves with our past. Well, you know, this has been a really interesting. How is the tea, man?
Oh, the tea is wonderful.
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah, we had Sweet Margaret. Yeah. The person I know, some people here sell it. You know, we want to advertise for you if you want us to. You just call me. That's 812-4007. Be glad to advertise your teas for you during this podcast. But like I said to you, this podcast is heard in a few countries around the world, and it's emanating from this little island, 21x7, here in the Bahamas. We are a beautiful nation of beautiful people. We're just like our island, beautiful. And I'm happy to have another beautiful Bahamian back home contributing to this discussion today. Sean is just amazing to see you, man, and to have you here. And thank you for taking a moment out of your vacation to come and do this podcast.
It's been a pleasure, Mr. Bain. I just thank you, actually. I'm grateful that you gave me the opportunity to be here to share something with my beloved Bahamian brothers and sisters.
Excellent, man, excellent. So until the next time, this is Robert Bain with my guest, Sean Toussaint, and we'll be back soon. You're listening to Tea and Talk.
You're listening to the podcast, Tea and Talk.